I have a disclaimer before I preach this sermon. Some of you do not need to hear it. In fact, many of you may not need to hear it. So if you want to, you can take a nap. But if you need to hear this, stay awake and listen with both ears. I used to love to watch the Johnny Carson show. And I kept watching it when Jay Leno took over the show, and I liked Jay Leno. He used to do something that I thought was fun. He called it jaywalking. He would go out on the streets of Los Angeles, and he would find young people on the street, and he would ask them questions that they should know the answers to and find out what they knew, and what actually happened was a display of painful ignorance. For instance, he asked one man, he said, "In what country would you find the Panama Canal?" And the young man looked bewildered, and he said, "I have no idea." So Jalen Lill said, "Okay, well, let me ask you this. In what country would you find the Great Wall of China?" And the guy thought about it, and he said, "Maybe China?" And Jay Leno said, "Right. Well, in what country would you find the Panama Canal?" He said, "Oh, I get it. In China." Painful, cringeworthy ignorance. I don't know whether to blame the educational system or the students, but we'll get to that. But very concerning to me are questions that he asked about the Bible and about God, and the answers that he got. For instance, he asked this question: "How many Ten Commandments are there?" And the answer was 10. He said, "That's right. Can you name any of them?" And she thought, "Freedom of speech." Sad. And here's another one. He said, "What is the opening line in the Bible?" And the young man with great confidence said, "Oh, I know this one. A long time ago in a galaxy far away." This is true. Here's one more. Jay Leno said, "Finish this line. 47 years ago, our forefathers." And the girl said without his hesitation, "Our forefathers who art in heaven." Painful. That display of biblical ignorance is not just a condition on the streets of Los Angeles, California, among young people. It is far worse than that. In a Sunday school class for children, the teacher gave a quiz, and one little boy gave answers to these two questions. The first question was, "What are the epistles?" And he answered, "The wives of the apostles." And then the second question was, "What were Sodom and Gomorrah?" And his answer was, "Husband and wife." I get it. This can be a chuckle, but it's also a huge cringe. And here's another similar one. A young pastor came to a Presbyterian church. It was his first Sunday. And on that first Sunday, the teacher of the young boys' Sunday school class was missing. And they asked the pastor if he would come in and substitute teach. So he decided he wanted to find out what the boys knew about the Bible. So he said, "Okay, boys, I have a question for you. Who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" And all the boys denied having done it. He met with the elders that week. And he said, "Not one of those boys knew who knocked down the walls of Jericho." And one of the elders said, "Pastor, I can see that this bothers you a lot. I have known those boys since they were born, and I assure you they're good boys. And if they say they didn't do it, they didn't do it." And the pastor looked at that elder in total disbelief. And then the elder added this: let's just take some money out of the maintenance fund and fix the walls and let it go. There was a Gallup poll that was conducted across America, and it revealed the following. It said that 60% of Americans do not know what the Holy Trinity is. Do you? 66% cannot tell you who preached the Sermon on the Mount. Do you know? 79% could not name one prophet from the Old Testament. What about you? Amazingly, some of those who responded to that said that they attend church regularly. Why is it that so many people do not know the basics of our faith? Perhaps we're failing them, but I suspect there's another aspect to this, probably even stronger. I suspect they simply do not care. They do not care. It's not important to them. There's also this. There is a subset of Christians who have been taught that only a priest or a rabbi or a minister can read the Bible and really understand it and tell you what it says. I hope you know that is totally false. Totally false. As far as I know, brothers and sisters, you know the basics of our faith. You are not ignorant of God's word. And yes, I know that there are some people in here that know more about the Bible than any of us do. I'm not naive about that. And I certainly hope I'm not mistaken when I say I believe that you know a lot about the Bible. But I suspect that you would be quick to say, the more I know about the Bible, the more I realize I don't know about the Bible. There's so much. But at least we try. We try. Let's face it. The Bible is a great big meal, and it would take years for us to consume it, and our plates would still be full. So we take little spoons and little forks, and we chew a little bit, and we ingest it, and then sometimes we get tired of it, and so we abandon it. And then we'll come back, and we'll start all over again and try to get just a little bit more of God's word into us. Why? Because we're hungry for God's word, right? No! Many, many Christians are not hungry for God's word. What are they hungry for? Let me put it this way. What are you hungry for? Don't answer that. Just think about it, take it home and ponder it and see what God has to say to you. This is interesting. This is from Peter's first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. He wrote, concerning salvation, the prophets who spoke by the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And in other words, he was saying, they burned the midnight oil studying the Word of God and trying from those ancient words to figure out specific answers. And then Peter continued in verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Now listen to this. Even angels long to look into these things. Even angels long to look into these things. If the angels don't have all the answers, brothers and sisters, we never will. We never will have all the answers. Still, like the angels, we should long for more and more knowledge and more understanding of God's holy word. You know what? We're not just talking about ancient words. We're talking about living words with eternal consequences for life now and life after now. Following that passage that even angels long to look into these things, Peter used a very important word. He used the word therefore. I've shared this with you before, probably more than once, and you'll probably hear it again. One of my favorite biblical teachers is Stuart Briscoe. I don't know if you know Stuart Briscoe or not. He died about 2 years ago. He was from England. He had that beautiful British accent. He could read the phone book to me and I'd be mesmerized. And he was a great biblical teacher. He pastored a church in Wisconsin, here in America. He started with 300 people, and he grew that church to 7,000 people. And here's one of the great things he said as a Bible teacher. He said, whenever you see the word therefore, ask yourself what it is there for. You've heard that, right? Well, of course, it's referring to what came before it, what was just read, what I just read to you. What I just read to you. I won't read it again. I'll just summarize it. It talked about Old Testament prophets diligently studying the ancient scrolls, trying to figure out what this thing about salvation was all about that was promised to come. And then Peter said, therefore, and I'm going to read you three translations. Here it is in the NIV. Therefore, with minds that are alert and sober. This is the English Standard Version. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. And here's the good old King James Version. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. I like that one. Why? Because the men of Palestine at the time that this was written wore long robes. And they could walk in them, but they couldn't run. They couldn't even walk fast. In order to be able to do that, they had to pick up their skirts and tuck it in their belt. And then they could move. So they girded up their loins in order to move. And that's what the translation taught. They understood what the writer was saying. Today we might say, roll up your sleeves and get busy. Now applying all of that to the theme of today's sermon, the message is you and I need to put in some effort, effort that is required of us to focus our minds on God's word, whatever that may mean to you. Isaiah 26:3, you, Lord, will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. Romans 12:2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 1 Corinthians 14, so what shall I do? I will pray with the spirits, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Brothers and sisters, God gave us our minds, and he gave us his word, and he wants us to put them together and use them. And the very next verse, Verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Contrary to the popular saying, ignorance is not bliss. Let's go back to some of those polls. The Barna Research Group conducted a survey of 641 Christians. 16% of them said that Jesus was born in Jerusalem. 42% of them think that the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, is in the Bible. 50% of them, 50, could not tell you what John 3:16 means. And a whopping 91% have no idea what the Great Commission is. Do you know? Just asking. Among those 641 Christians, 93% of them said that they owned more than one Bible. 23% of them said they had never read it. How many Bibles do you own? How many Bibles do you have in your house? How many translations of the Bible have you had or do you have? How often do you open the book and read it? Say it again. Say it louder. Every day. No, God bless you. I love it. Take a nap. George Gallup called Americans a nation of biblical illiterates. Ouch. He said, 66% of teenagers do not know why we observe and celebrate Easter. 66%. He also said that 50% of them do not believe that there is a devil. 33% of them believe in astrology and believe it is okay to follow astrology. And then he said that 75% of them do believe in hell, but they cannot imagine that they would possibly go there. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. When Ronald Reagan was president, the Secretary of Education was William Bennett. And he said this, America has become the kind of society to which civilized countries send missionaries. That was 35 years ago. Wonder what he'd say today. I have a confession to make, one that I've made before. So again, I'm repeating myself. I am too sedentary. I am lazy. I do not like to exercise, and I need to move more. Jim and Jonathan keep reminding me of it. Thank you, guys. They're right. They're correct. A few months ago, my body told me how stupid I was. And then I discovered something intriguing, called chair exercises for senior citizens. I can sit in a chair and exercise? This is too good to be true. There are dozens and dozens of videos on YouTube and all over the internet of things that you can do sitting in a chair. I love it. Sitting in a chair, they're supposed to help you with your balance and your strength and your breathing. So I tried some of them. And I started out, and the first thing I saw was videos for beginners. And I thought, I don't need beginners. I'm going to skip a notch, and I'm going to go on up, you know. Well, you can imagine what happened. I did need the beginners. In fact, I probably needed the pre-beginners themselves. I really definitely needed to take baby steps. Baby steps. And what does all that have to do with what I'm talking about today. Maybe it's obvious, but just in case, we all have to start somewhere with our biblical knowledge. We all have to start somewhere. We need to take baby steps, perhaps. Maybe you need baby steps. That's okay. That's great. So let me challenge you. I'm going to suggest that you do some biblical chair exercises this week. Baby steps. This week, I'm going to suggest that at least three times you open your Bible and read it for 10 minutes. I mean, you know, I'm kind of an organized person, and I would say, okay, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'll read my Bible for 10 minutes. Or I might say Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, I'll read my Bible for 10 minutes. If you do that, by next Lord's Day, you will have spent 30 minutes in God's Word. And I'll bet that's a big increase for some of us. And if you can do it, step it up a step and read one psalm. I don't care which one you read, but let's just assume that you read Psalm 23. And then I want you to pray through it. This is what I mean. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Lord, thank you that you shepherd me. Thank you, Lord, that you protect me, that you provide for me. Father, help me submit to your authority and your love. Help me to be your sheep. Help me not to go astray. That's what I mean about praying through the Bible. Don't just read words, but pray about them. You don't need a commentary to do that. You don't need a Bible dictionary to do that. You don't need a Bible study to do that. Those are all great things, and I highly recommend them, because they can help you replace ignorance with knowledge. But just as important, and probably more so, is that you allow the author to be your teacher. Talk to him and listen for his voice to speak to you when you read his word, and you will discover that you will be hungry for more. Let's pray. Father, I don't know who needed to hear that sermon, but I pray that you will speak to that person or those people right now and help them to admit that they have a need to feed on your word more. And I pray, Lord, you will bless them in doing it and put a skip in their walk and help them to dance to your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.